My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I'm so happy to be with you again today. Today, we are talking about the importance of checking the facts when you feel threatened. So for those of us who are healing from trauma, our threat response is usually on 10, not even on 10. On a scale of 0 to 10, it's on 20. So we can be very hypervigilant and hyperaware when we feel like a person, a situation, a thing is attacking us. And based on our trauma, sometimes we are exactly right. Sometimes our intuition, our threat response is telling us that this is dangerous and it is time to move. Moving away is the right direction to do so. Cutting a person off, cutting off a situation, putting up a wall, putting up boundaries is the right thing. And sometimes our threat response, because it is so sensitive and because it's been almost over-attuned to the things that have happened, it can tell us that we are in a dangerous situation, in a dangerous relationship, that the person across from us is someone who wants to hurt us, when that threat is actually not present. And we may overreact to something or overrespond to something that may end up not by way of trying to defend ourselves and protect ourselves. We may end up damaging what might be a good thing because the person, place, thing, or situation was not a threat. Some of us may be able to relate to that. There may have been a relationship that we thought was destructive, or we had a really hard time trusting the person, trusting the relationship to be good for us. And so we may have sabotaged it by our fears and our worries about, is this person actually true for me? Do they actually care about me? Are they going to end up leaving? Do they actually like me or not? And we're projecting all of our stuff onto them. Same thing with a situation, an opportunity. Running away from opportunities that may have been good for us because we're projecting our own fear of it not working out or something being too good to be true, so on and so forth. So for today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the importance of checking the facts as a skill. So there are actual steps to checking the facts that I'm going to go over for us today, talk about what this looks like when we are in conflict with others, and also talk about next steps to use if this is something that you find helpful for you. So let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
The weather is about to start cooling off, which means it is time to transition into our fall and winter wear. And looking for quality, stylish autumn clothing has been so easy since I found Quince. I love when feminine design meets comfort, meets classic lines. And finding stores that match those qualities is not always easy. You might be giving up the quality of a clothing style for the design choice, or you might find something that's made well, but the style is not flattering. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items that I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't have to blow my budget. So like cashmere sweaters for $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices with premium fabrics and finishes. And I love that. I am personally so excited to add my taupe Italian leather crossbody purse to my wardrobe this fall. The classic and timeless design and incredible structure and beautiful hardware is making it a staple not only for my upcoming fall wardrobe, but also still for my summer dresses as well. And finding something of such great quality at an incredible price makes it even better. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high-quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/BGH for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's
quince.com/BGH to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/BGH.
Okay, so like I said, this skill is very, very important for us to use when it comes to working through our everyday life, because if we've gone through any type of childhood trauma, whether or not it's childhood neglect, childhood abuse, sexual abuse, extreme grief, if there's been addiction around us, if there's been spiritual abuse, we have had to learn how to have our feelers out and proud and very tuned in to people who might be trying to get something over on us, people who might be trying to abandon us, people who might be trying to take advantage of us, harm us, insult us. If we've had extreme bullying in our past, if we have had extreme exclusion from peers or from loved ones, if we've had narcissistic abuse, right? What may have happened, especially if we have been people pleasers in the past, is by way of us learning how to defend ourselves, we become very hyper aware when someone may be a threat. And so sometimes, like I said in the intro, it is exactly right. And sometimes we may have a hard time finding the balance in that. So there is a skill that's called check the facts. It is from a type of therapy called dialectical behavior therapy. Some of you know that in my training as a therapist, this is one of the therapy models that I was trained in. And dialectical behavior therapy is the leading model, or has been one of the leading models, for those of us who have trouble with or have had difficulty with regulating our emotions. So whether or not we find ourselves being very sensitive to things that happen, and doesn't just mean threat, it means that we may feel our sadness very deeply. We may feel our grief very, very deeply. We may feel our joy very deeply, right? We feel our emotions very intensely, but it's hard for us to regulate them, to make decisions based on what is going to be in our best interest. And so dialectical behavior therapy is really great at finding that balance. Little known fact, though, extreme emotions is not only just if they are maybe explosive or volatile, or if you might be kind of reactive to them. It can also be for those of us where emotions are so strong within us that we have learned to numb them out. So we don't really show much of anything, because if we do tap into the feelings, there would be so much behind it. So we might feel a lot of apathy. We might find that when something happens, we go cold, we go flat, we freeze. When people ask us how we're feeling throughout the day, we don't really know how to answer that. Our answer is like, I'm okay, I'm fine, because I'm actually okay and I'm fine. But if someone asks me about a specific emotion, whether or not it is happiness, joy, hurt, betrayal, I might not be able to place it. Like, I might not even know what that means. I may logically know what that means, but I don't really relate to it, because I've learned to go through my life by kind of numbing some things out. And so what happens when we start to heal and get connected to our nervous system, those people who may feel frozen or numb a lot may actually start to feel a lot of the things that they had no placement for. So things that they thought they had worked through, things that they thought they had cried through, things that they thought they had had anger for, all of a sudden, they're feeling these things very strongly. And so emotions are just like a wave. Emotions will go up like a wave does, but they always come down. So for those of you who may be feeling a lot of distress around the intensity of the emotions that you have, don't worry. Emotions will always, always work their way out as long as you feel them. The more you try to fight against your emotions, compartmentalize them, logically outthink them, set them to the side, that's when the emotions keep coming. Why can keep coming stronger? Because you're not allowing yourself to feel your way all the way through the emotions. The name of this skill is Check the Facts. And I really, before I give this overview, my goal in talking about this is not just our emotions in general. It really is in conflict. I've had a lot of very recent experiences myself personally, and with a lot of people that I've seen around me, where if you go off what you think to be true, it is very easy to plant an atomic bomb in a place where there's no war zone, right? It's a green meadow, but I come in guns a-blazing, right? And I have learned in the very, very recent past that there have been so many incidents with people, with situations, with places that I was sure that there was a threat. You know, I've said this before many times in this podcast. I know that my discernment is really, really strong. I know that I have really great intuition. I know that I'm very much spiritually inclined. And so knowing that, it is very easy to go off those gut feelings that is true. Right? The problem is sometimes, or maybe a lot of times, the insecurities or traumas that I'm still working through and still healing, they produce the same amount of visceral emotional intensity as my intuition or as my discernment or as my gut feeling. And so part of my healing process and part of the healing process that many of you will also be experiencing is learning how to face these things and discern, okay, was this actually my intuition or was this my trauma response? And sometimes you're able to see it from the jump because you're aware of what your insecurities are. You're aware of what your traumas are. So you can tell when you're probably being a little bit more reactive to something than you would any other time. You know, there's a phrase that I used to say a lot on the podcast, which is that if it's hysterical, it's historical, right? So if I overreact to a real slight, a real offense, I'm not imagining it. It really was an offense. But if I overreact and make it World War III when it really didn't need to warrant that type of response, that probably means that it's connected to a deeper trauma or insecurity or fear that I've had before. And if that's the case, that means that the person that's across from me is not equipped to handle that. It's also not the responsibility to handle that because there's no amount of apologies or whatever else that they're going to be able to give me that's going to make me feel secure. So for example, if I was sitting down somewhere, if I was at a gathering and someone came and they stepped on my foot, and instead of me saying, hey, watch where you're going or ignoring it, you know, either one, depending on how I felt would be good. But let's say instead of me saying, defending myself and saying, hey, please watch where you're going, I said, what are you doing? You know, there's other people here and I'm just going off on this person. Chances are I have a previous trauma where people didn't respect my boundaries, where people acted like I was invisible, where people tried to start things with me because they thought that I was weak, you know, or any type of trauma related to that. So I'm not just responding to this person that stepped on my foot. I'm responding to all the people before who disrespected me and all the people before who have hurt me, like real hurt and pain and trauma. Now, here's the thing about our trauma, y'all. Our trauma may explain us, but it doesn't excuse us. It doesn't matter what I've gone through. It doesn't give me the right to go and rage on this person for stepping on my foot. Right? The reaction needs to match the offense. So what it can do, so I said the first way that we can know that we're overreacting to something or, you know, our emotional response might be stronger than it would be otherwise is if we are aware of our trauma, if we're aware of our insecurities, right? And so when it happens, we're good with it. Sometimes we need to stop and look at our response and say, huh, that was a very strong response. I wonder what that's about, right? Like it could be something that's not even on our radar. And we're like, that I don't know if that's how I want it to be. So I'll go ahead and give another example before I get into breaking down the skill. For me, one of my go-to responses to threats is to get out of there. I'm great at skedaddling. Like, you ain't got to tell me twice. You only got to tell me one time that you are not going to be here for me, that you're someone that I can't respect, that doesn't respect me, that you're someone that I can't trust. I can show you better than I can tell you. Like, you ain't got to worry about me. Like I'm very good at cutting ties and getting out of there whenever I feel like there is a threat. So sometimes I am 100% correct. Sometimes I am very good at discerning when someone is dangerous and a predator for me. When someone is a fake friend. When someone who's connected by blood, but it's not quite actually family. A lot of times I'm very good at that. And sometimes because of my past trauma, the people who I stay there a little bit too long, I trusted people who I shouldn't have trusted. I gave people passes when I shouldn't have given passes. And so I am maybe more sensitive around letting people stay around me longer than they need to be because I'm afraid of being humiliated again or hurt again or whatever it may be. I need to be very mindful that I don't cut people off and cut ties with people and make up assumptions about them. The first sign of what I think a threat is, because what I have found time and time again, that what I knew to be true, when I broke down the receipts in my head, when I pieced the timeline together, and I was clear, like, okay, yeah, I'll have this conversation with you just to say I had it, but I already know how this is going to end. You know, like, I have had enough experiences of that where I went in just sure I was right, only to find out I wasn't. And there have been many people that I've cut off before that when I look back, I should have never did it. I've lost great friends, relationships, claws, fights. made fights be longer than they needed to be, held grudges because I was so attached to the story that I thought was true, which is why check the facts is so important. I'm going to talk to you about why you need to learn how to check the facts and what that looks like when you're in conflict, especially when you think the facts that you have are all accurate. But there have been so many people that I've cut off that didn't need to be cut off, that in hindsight, with growth and healing and understanding, I can see that. And because I've been able to get to a place where I know how to have conversations with people now, even when I don't want to, right? Even when I'm like, I already know how this is going to work out, that it's healed something in me. You know, because if you live your whole life very attuned to this threat response that people around you are going to hurt you, harm you, you always have to keep your eyes out, right? No matter how many positive affirmations you tell yourself, there's still something in the back of your mind that's like, okay, but you can't trust everybody, right? So to have the experience where, yeah, my discernment is right sometimes, but wait, there are some safe people in the world, or it is possible to have a misunderstanding with someone and that doesn't mean that y'all need to no longer talk, or that means that the relationship is over, or that means something that's just super fatalistic that you can actually move forward. It's okay to be wrong. That's another thing. You know, for me, Miss Perfectionist, being wrong in relationships based on previous trauma has also been a source of humiliation. So there's a part of me that has wanted to, whenever I'm having a fight or having feelings towards someone and finding that, oh, wait, there's egg on my face, I was wrong about that, that makes me want to be like, okay, well, they probably don't want to talk to me anymore, or that I ruined that relationship, oh, well. And I'm predicting and anticipating this person rejecting me or no longer wanting to be friends, only to find out that that's not the case. That's not the case at all, that they still have love for me. And again, I'm projecting my own stuff onto them. So being faced with my insecurities on both sides have been a great reflection for me to go and do the work that I need to do. Because again, if I were to have a conversation with someone where I felt slighted or I felt disrespected or I felt scared, if it is based in trauma, there is nothing that this person is going to be able to do or say. Even if I say, hey, can you be more mindful when you say this kind of thing? Or can you like let me know, give me a heads up? They might be able to do that, but my threat is still on 10. I'm still going to be piecing and dissecting all the things that they said until I look at, why do I feel so insecure about this? Why does this make me feel scared? Why does this make me feel less than? What do I need to do? What messages about myself? What stories do I need to tell about myself? What confidence do I need to have in myself to where if or when someone says or does something like this, it's a non-factor because I already know. Or better yet, I'm able to blow it off. Because think about it. For some of us, there are some things that people can make jokes about. Like, think about it. And I said this also in previous podcast episodes. There are some things. I talked about how I'm sensitive, right? Obviously, I'm sensitive. So I can watch other people, you know, cap on other people, you know, tell jokes to other people. And they it doesn't even faze them. You know, they know it's a joke. They know they're making fun of them, but it doesn't even matter to them. The exact same words that are said to this one person. Let's say they're capping on somebody's big forehead. And let's say that person actually has a big forehead. But because they're so secure in themselves, there's nothing that that person can say around that topic that's going to really get a rise out of them, right? But if someone came to me and let's say that I had an insecurity about the size of my forehead, the exact same words, because I don't know who I am, it is going to get a rise out of me, right? Because of the story that I make up about it. So you're telling me that because you don't respect me, because you don't like me, because you want to embarrass me in front of all these people, because you want to make me feel less than, because of blah, 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 blah. And I get very, very big in that because that's what people have done to me before. So this is one of those situations where multiple things can be true. It could be very true that I'm a sensitive person. It could be very true that it's not my sense of humor to cap on people. It can be very true that in the past, people have said jokes to me to make me feel very small, to benefit how they look in the room, right? All those things can be true. And it can also be very true that this person on the other side of me is otherwise someone who is very safe. So if I go and rage at this person for all the things that 20 years of people before did to me, that reaction is not going to match. Versus if I were to say, hey, not too much on my forehead, right? I've shared my boundaries. I've said what I wanted, and I now have a place where I can go and work on the pain from my past to clear that out because that person is not going to be able to do enough penance and healing to make me feel better. Does that make sense? Right? So let's talk about checking the facts, what this actually looks like, what this will look like if this is working within a situation with another person. And then if you do happen to be, like I've said before, I can relate to having egg on my face, realizing that I did the wrong thing, realizing that I was in the wrong, or realizing that two things were true. Like, you crossed a boundary, and also my reaction didn't match the situation. And this is a relationship that I would like to repair versus just drop and lose, right? Because maybe I've spent a lot of time and heart and energy trying to make this relationship good, right? So I have a part in repairing this. So let's talk about it. So checking the facts. When you learn about checking the facts, there are 8 steps that are discussed. And you want to check the facts when there is an event that happens, then you have some maybe negative or challenging thoughts about it, which then gives way to maybe negative emotions. Or there can be an event or a situation or a conversation that happens, which makes you feel a certain thing, and then makes you have negative thoughts about the person, about the situation, about yourself, right? And checking the facts is what's going to help us change the negative emotions and change the negative thoughts that we're having. It's going to give us more perspective, which is going to be very helpful in the case that we may be talking with a person or be in a situation where it's not a predator, where it's not a threat, where it might actually be our trauma or maybe a little bit of both. And so we do need to have a boundary conversation, or we do need to work on our own personal insecurity and threat response, or a mixture of both. Okay. So the first question that you need to ask yourself is, what is the emotion that I'm feeling right now? What is it that I want to change? And today I'll give y'all one little other side story. Today, this morning, I was in so much anxiety about a lot of different things. It felt like there was this giant snowball of big emotions and big feelings that were very hard for me to deal with. And I found myself being in a place where I'm like, I had the thought where I was like, oh, I just wish I had something or someone to distract me from this, right? In the past, I know that I've gone to emotional eating, but I had the wherewithal to say, okay, chocolate is not going to do it for me today. I've had the wherewithal to go and start flirting with people and talking to the folks that I'm in relationships with. And, you know, I'm like, nope, texting him ain't going to help me right now. The feeling of, you know, whatever spiritual mentor or person who I feel like is more aligned to God than me in the moment, if I'm feeling very detached, you know, pastor, whoever it may be, I've been like, man, I need to get a session with them, talking to my therapist. Like, I've had all of that. But today I was like, okay, let me try to do this myself. And so I went within and I did a whole lot of journaling and self-talk and prayer and meditation. And at the end of it, these big emotions that I did not believe, I thought I might be able to get to a place where, you know, I'm feeling overwhelmed with the emotions and I feel like I can't function, that I would get to a place where, like, okay, I feel them very strongly, so I'll just wait until, you know, Wednesday when I have my next session, or I'll just wait until such and such gets off work, or I'll just wait until, you know, I finish this project so I can go out and give myself a sweet treat or whatever it may be. I actually got to the place where I felt very free, completely free, encouraged and happy, y'all, happy and hopeful and empowered and crystal clear. I'm telling you this after step one, because for some of us, the first step being asking yourself what emotion that you want to change may seem like too simple. It may seem like this turning to yourself and doing this self-examination, especially because a lot of the things I'm going to say after this are going to be about talking to yourself and getting connected to yourself. And if you're very used to finding solutions outside of you, externalized solutions, it's going to be the last thing you want to hear. And it's going to feel like it's not going to work as well as the other stuff. And I'm telling you this, because I know that I know that I know that I know that you can find the same, if not more relief, actually probably more relief within coming within yourself, learning how to connect within yourself as you can in your external relationships as well. Your external relationships and your hobbies and all your tools, they are extensions of you. You have picked really great people who are great at consoling you and advising you. and supporting you because of what you have inside of you, right? That was your own internal magnet that found people to mirror back to you the solutions and answers that you have access to. And all they're doing is reminding you of your power. All they're doing is reminding you of how amazing you are. All they're doing is reminding you of your purpose and your strength, right? Like, they're not giving you anything that you don't already have. They're reminding you of what's already present, right? So as you do your internal healing, as you do your self-healing, you're just being returned back to you. Your trauma, the people, the insecurities, the pain, they have distanced you from that truth, from the truth of who you are, right? So if you have me or any other healer or any other coach or any other therapist or any other person that's telling you to go to yourself, it is not something just light and fluffy. It's not just because it's the trend, you know, right now where there's so much about inner child work and self-healing and, you know, manifestation, all that other stuff and getting connected to your thoughts. We're hearing it everywhere because there's truth to it. Okay. So again, if you're having emotions or thoughts that are not in alignment with what you want, the first thing for you to do is to check with yourself and say, okay, what is the emotion that I'm feeling right now that I want to change? Anger is a secondary emotion, right? Which means that a lot of times anger is covering up what is known as a primary emotion, which is something that's a little bit more tender, a little bit more sensitive a lot of times. Anger is really good at making us feel like we're in control and helping us like take back our power. We feel like someone or something is hurting us or threatening us, right? So am I feeling very angry because this person hurt my feelings? Am I feeling very angry because I feel misunderstood? Am I feeling angry because I'm feeling overwhelmed? Because I'm feeling small, right? Because I am feeling betrayed, because I'm feeling disappointed and hurt, because I'm feeling sad, because I'm feeling little, again, you know, and these are words, of course, related to like inner child feelings and stuff. But what is happening? Am I feeling ashamed? Am I feeling embarrassed? Am I feeling out of control? Am I embarrassed by my own reaction? Am I embarrassed by the fact that this person saw something in me? I'm feeling exposed. So now I'm angry, right? I'm feeling so vulnerable right now. What's going on here? Okay. Then the next step in checking the facts is to ask yourself, what is the event that is prompting my emotions?
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
So in DBT, DBT because remember is based in helping those of us who may struggle with our emotion regulation. And, you know, more likely DBT is used for people who, if they feel something, then it must be true. And so a lot of DBT is teaching people how to have a wise mind, which is a balance between thinking with your emotions and your logical mind. You know, and some of us can feel like we're super logical, but that logic is because you have operationalized your trauma and you have made it so that 1 + 1 = 3 or 1 + 1 = 2. But there are some situations where there's a different factor involved. And so you don't realize that the equation has changed, right? And so based on your own trauma in your past, again, you think that you're seeing things super clearly because you are maybe a little bit more, I don't know what's a different word other than logical, like you're a little bit more mathematical about it. You're more scientific about it. Again, you know, especially talk about my avoidance all the time with the receipts. I talked about that myself. Like I will put together the timeline and everything. And logically, when I'm talking to my friends about it, they did this, they said this, and I said this. So obviously this is what they meant. And that's why I'm not talking to them no more. And my friends are like, okay, Sheena. Or my body worker is like, okay, are there any other perspectives? What? Did you not just hear a story that I told you? I just broke it down to you very clearly. You're trying to tell me that this is not what they meant and this is not what was said and this is not what they did. And they're like, yeah, that's true. And then I'm getting agitated because I'm like, how are you sitting there trying to give me devil's advocate instead of agreeing with me? You know, but come to find out your girl who's very logical and supposedly and does this for a living can be wrong. So we can all learn from just taking a step back and looking. We can't lose anything by looking at the situation and getting curious about our emotions and thoughts. Those of us who may be afraid of doing that, it may be because, maybe like me, you have had experiences where you try to give people the benefit of the doubt. You try to be merciful. You try to give grace, but you end up giving grace to people who are predators. And you're very afraid of that happening again. So what do I do if that's my response, if that is my history? That is not that I double down on being protective because, again, my scanner is off. My filter is off. It is hard for me to tell who is friend or foe, period. Everyone becomes a foe until proven otherwise. And when that's your filter, it's very hard, if not impossible, for someone to be proved to be a friend. And if they are, it is very quick for them to go back into the I don't fuck with you category, right? And so the work is with myself. The work is going back to that little girl or young teenager or young woman who was hurt and betrayed and taking care of her in the ways that I should have been taken care of, talking to her in the ways that she should have been talked to, soothing her, comforting her, telling her that it's going to be okay, or telling her, sitting with her when it's not okay and not trying to rush her through her feelings, letting myself grieve through that. That's the only thing that's going to make that threat response not have to be as strong, because all that comes from being a time in your life when you were not heard. All of us who have a super high threat response, it is because we've had a period of time in our life where someone did not hear us, when we had to be our own protection. We had to be the one who looked out for ourselves. We had to be the one who found our own tips, tools, and tricks to help us be ahead of the game. And like I've already said, like 15 times already, for a lot of us, that scanner is good. It is, I'm not going to knock that. For a lot of us, our scanner is probably on point. But this skill is for the times when our scanner might not be on point. And by going through this process, you'll be able, especially if it's with a person or a situation or a relationship that you thought was good. Like you thought this was a good relationship. You thought that this was a good, you know, opportunity for you. You thought that this was a safe community or space for you. You thought that this was a great job for you. And come to find out it's not. We're going to check the facts to see if what you're seeing and what you're experiencing is actually reality or if something poked at a nerve that you might not have known was a little bit sensitive. Okay. So when you're looking at the event that's prompting your emotions, like I was saying, DBT really works with people to be more logical. So this is where we are going to challenge you to be a little bit more objective. So what exactly is the 1, 2, 3 steps of what happened? What did you see? What did you hear? What did you feel? What did you taste? Did I do all the senses? Smell. You know, it talks about going through the senses, looking at all of your thoughts about it. You know, are there all of your thoughts, are they actually clear facts, or are some of them judgments? Are some of them in a court of law, 100% of the time, you could prove it to be true, or some of these have some of your opinions into them? Some of these have what should happen or what should never happen, right? Those are not clear objective statements. Those are feeling statements. And that doesn't make them less valid. It's just for us to keep in mind that this is what's helping influence my relationship to that, which leads into the third step, which is asking yourself, what are my interpretations, my thoughts, and my assumptions about the event? Okay, so that you may have already listed kind of that out. And step number 2, when you're asking yourself what happened that prompted me to feel this way, in this step, you're going to look at, okay, what are some alternatives to this situation? So the person that came and stepped on my foot, I know she saw me because I saw her walking across the room with her heels with her friends. And so I know she saw me because I'm over here wearing a yellow dress. Like there's no way she can miss me. And I've been by this door all night and she's passed by 2 times, right? What's an alternative to that? That she was so caught up in our conversation, she didn't see me, that she was talking to someone, that she's a little bit tipsy, and so she lost her footing, that she really didn't see me, and it was not intentional. Right? Like, there are other alternatives. Whether or not I believe them is not the case. Are there any other alternatives to what I think is the truth? And sometimes we don't want to look at the alternatives, because if I look at the alternatives, that means my anger might go down, and my anger, my rage, my sense of justice, my sense of feeling this is what's helping me feel protected right now. I'm not giving anyone any leeway to embarrass me, to hurt me or anything. So yeah, there might be other interpretations, but I don't want to have them. Okay. you are absolutely entitled to have that mindset. Just know that if you're trying to work on not living your life in threat response and not accidentally ruining person or relationships, situations, events, and opportunities that you love and that you enjoy for your benefit because your threat response is such a tightly wound rubber band, that's going to persist until you work on that. So it doesn't have to be whatever situation comes to mind. If in me talking about this, you're listening to this and you're thinking about potential situations, but the hurt is too deep or too strong or whatever, you're like, I'm not doing that. That's fine. Just keep this in mind for later on when you may want to do it. Okay. But this is where you're going to practice looking at all sides of a situation and all points of view. And you're going to test your own interpretations and assumptions to see if they fit the facts. The fourth step in checking the facts is asking yourself, am I assuming a threat? If you're assuming a threat, you need to label what is the threat. So situation with a girl who comes over and steps on my foot, the threat is she's trying to embarrass me. She's trying to show me up. She's trying to dominate the space so that she can have power over me. She doesn't like me. She, whatever the threat may be, right? Depending on whatever the insecurity may be. Assess the probability that that threatening event will actually occur. So if she has more power over me, is she going to start making fun of me in front of everybody? Is she going to try to steal my man who's standing next to me? Like, is that why she came over and stepped to my foot to try to dominate my space? And so the threat is actually that she's going to try and take my partner. Is she someone who I felt insecure around and I'm afraid that she might actually be a friend of me? And we've never had a real falling out, but I'm not quite sure if she likes me or not. So is it that she's going to try to replace me in my friend group? You know, what are the threats? And once you get through with the threats, how real is the fact that this could actually happen? And then step number five, DBT says for you to ask, what is the catastrophe, right? So imagine there's a skill that they say, I want to say this is DBT. It might not be. This might be 12-step stuff. They all start to kind of blur together sometimes. But there's a skill that's called play the tape all the way through, right? So imagine your worst case scenario. Play every single step all the way through. So let's say the worst threat for me is that, you know, this person's coming over because she's trying to challenge my relationship with my partner. I'm going to play the tape all the way through. Let's say she does that. Let's say that the threat actually does occur. Let's say that everything happens and I get hurt and I feel embarrassed. I feel whatever else, right? I don't stop the tape there. Then what happens? Okay, I feel hurt. I feel embarrassed. And then, you know, people are talking about me and everything. Okay, and then what happens? All right, people are talking about me and then I'm alone for a while. And then what happens? And then I feel sad. Okay, and then what happens? And then I start to work through it and I start to work through my grief. And then what happens? And then I realize I shouldn't be with anyone anyways who would trade me out that quickly for someone who has that type of character. And then what happens? And then I start to feel confident about myself again. And then what happens? And then I learn from that and I start to pick better relationships and better people and places that won't disrespect me in that way. Great. Right? So I play the tape all the way through. I play through the worst case scenario and I find out that even in the end, even if the worst case scenario happens, I'm good on the other side. I've said this before, y'all. Everything is working for our benefit. As painful as it is in the moment, you know, sometimes the hindsight is, you know, not even 20/20, it's 40/20. Isn't that like what is better than eagle eyesight? You know, what it says, man's rejection is God's protection. You know, like we need to get to a mindset that where we understand that moving towards these things, even if it's painful, sometimes it is the best gift that it can give us, right? But in the case of checking the facts, once you get to the other side of this and you get this relief, it will lessen the intensity around it. And you might actually get a little bit more clarity about it because step number six for check the facts is, does my emotion and or intensity fit the actual facts? Okay. So here's where I'm going to remix it. I know I said there are eight steps, there are actually six. Here's where DBT says for you to assess if it fits the facts. This is where I feel like many of us go wrong. This is where I can go wrong. This is where a lot of us with our very sensitive threat responses can go wrong. Because this whole process, even though I pumped it up and like said how great it was from the beginning, I do think that there's a fatal flaw in here. Especially if this is related to conflict that you're having with somebody else. The fatal flaw is that I went through every single step and all the different interpretations and all the facts on my own. I was the beginning, middle, and end of the interpretation and of the filter of what happened and why it happened and what their intentions were. So even in that, I'm limited. If I don't have any concept that someone could have any positive intentions, that there could even, there's a possibility that whatever happened could be not malicious or not disrespectful. Like there's no way in the world that that's even a possibility. My brain cannot conceive of that, right? Which is why I've given several examples of how I've been able to break down conversations in the past and tell other people, and my equations were right. It equals that it's time for them to go bye-bye. It's time for them to be on block, or actually I don't block people who, there's not anyone that I can't remember blocking who wasn't like literally crazy and wasn't like stalker level. But yeah, that they need to be people that I'm just non-responsive to because of the interpretation that I had until I had a conversation with them to check the facts. This is a skill that I'm constantly telling my students and my clients to do. And it is the one that like is pulling teeth because nobody wants to do it because either everyone feels like they're right, asking this question is too vulnerable. They don't want to get disappointed. They are afraid of conflict. They have already made up their mind of who this person is and why, so it's easier for them to just like be in their cutoff zone. But you don't know what other people are thinking. You don't know their intentions. You don't know the reason why. And you just purely, you don't know everything. There's no one in this world who knows everything. And the only way that you're going to get the information is to check the facts. So what does that look like? Very simply, it is, hey, when you said that, did you mean it this way? When you said this to me, what did you mean by that? Hey, when I answered the phone and your voice sounded weird like this, was there something happening? Hey, when we were supposed to hang out the other day and you canceled at the last minute, what happened there? What was that about? Hey, when you said that we could go to the girls' trip together, but then you backed out at the last minute, what happened there? What you don't hear me saying in these questions is my interpretation. So when you backed out of the girls' trip, I thought it was because you were mad at me, or was it because you don't want to be friends anymore? Now, here's the thing. Before I go, keep going in those examples. If you're just starting out, check the facts. If that's the best way that you can do it is to put in what your interpretation is, that's fine. But doing it more open and neutrally is better because sometimes it can be better because it allows the person to have the openness to answer the question. In all those situations, depending on if you may have some insecurities that related to that, you can probably hear where my mind would have gone to with whatever situation it was. All those situations probably hit on abandonment wounds, rejection wounds, maybe hit on ways that you may have been judged or ostracized in the past. Maybe hit on ways that you were misunderstood before. Maybe you've had relationships with people who you were very close with. And then as soon as you started to let go and trust them, then you started to drift apart, right? And little small things would happen. And so now you're very kind of hypervigilant to that, you know? So if I'm going by my past traumas, and not only my past traumas, but my interpretation of that, in my life, people have always left me, and this is the pattern. This is whatever is happening. So I go through my whole life thinking that that's a pattern, when what might just be happening is that person may have had, a stomach bug right before dinner that night, and it had nothing to do with me. It could be that that person had just been to 3 different weddings and then had to help pay for their mama's surgery, so they didn't have the money for the girls' trip. It could be that this person, you know, right before she answered the phone, her boss sent her a nice, nasty text, and so she was in a mood about it, right? And it had nothing to do with whether or not she wanted to hear from you or not. But when we go off our interpretations, when we go off the ways that we've been hurt before, when we don't ask people questions, we pile them back in with all the people who've ever hurt us before. And because we didn't check it then, because we didn't get clarity then, and we said, okay, I'm just going to get over it. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. it might be something that's easy for us to forget and it's no longer top of mind. And now it becomes one of many new offenses because now I've clocked you. Not only were you someone who was safe before, you've hurt my feelings, I'm not going to tell you about it. You're not going to stay as someone who's safe. You're over here in the unsafe category. So now everything you do say and don't do and don't say is going to be through the I can't trust you. And I'm just waiting for you to give me enough evidence for me to fully drop you, cut you off, curse you out, but not feel anything about it, right? So if or when, just to recap, if or when someone comes to you, says something to you, tries to talk to you, or does something to you that is hurtful, and you're having a lot of emotions about it, and let's say you really are trying to get to a place where maybe you are someone who can be a little bit, you're trying to learn how to dial it back. So you're not the person who tends to go to withhold everything. Maybe you are someone who you're going to everything about all your emotions. And so you're doing a lot of personal work to learn how to talk to yourself and do your own inner child work and go to therapy and all that stuff. But you're doing all that and those emotions are still there. It is okay for you to go and check the facts with this person and say, hey, when this happened, is this what you meant by it? Or tell me more about that. Is this what you meant? You know, and to get more information. And then once you have that information, then you can make a decision from there. Then you can ask follow-up questions. Then you can say, okay, wow, because I thought that this is what you meant when you said that. I thought this is what you meant when you got off the phone so quickly. I thought this is what you meant when you cut our dinner down short an hour. I thought this is what you meant when you told me to go text this person for the answer to my question instead of telling it to me, that maybe you didn't want to talk to me. Like, you are able to get a different perspective in the world to know that not everything is that dangerous. Now, I did promise to talk about what to do if you did go off with somebody or you did cut somebody off or you did whatever that ended up threatening the opportunity, the situation, the relationship. The good news and the bad news is that it's just one step. But that step is, the reason why it's the bad news is that it does involve you holding yourself accountable and making amends and saying, I'm sorry. This can be also really hard if in you realizing that you had a part to play, it is a situation where the other side wasn't completely innocent. Like, let's say it wasn't just a misunderstanding or a misinterpretation or a miscommunication, that there is something that the other person did that kind of hurt your feelings. But here's the thing. That person's already heard your part of it. Like, if you have been someone who has cut them off, been reactive, whatever, volatile, now is your time to go back and do your part, right? The ways that you may have crossed boundaries, the ways that you may have reacted and projected your own stuff onto them that didn't have anything to really do with them. So for me, what has come to me, relationships that I've kind of cut off in the past, because my go-to is usually to either disappear or go ghost on people and to not have a conversation. Now, I can't really think of any, let me knock on wood, y'all, before I have a podcast episode in 6 months where I'm talking about how to not go off on people. Lord, that's how left was working, I think. Anyways, let me finish my statement. I'm an avoider when it comes to conflicts, in that I make up in my mind what's happening. And you like I said, you ain't got to worry about me. I can show you better than I could tell you. You don't want to talk to me? Good. You know, because I really don't want to talk to you. I need to talk to you. That's good. We have that in common, right? That's the direction that I'm going to go. So for me, it's about reinstating that relationship. It's about asking questions about what I thought I need to be true and getting more information about it. Now, luckily, especially for the most part, you know, the place where I am right now, I can't sit on it. If I have any type of agitation when it comes to any of my relationships, I'm not going to go weeks out. Like, I need to have reconciliation. I need to have understanding now. Depending on how close we are, you may get a phone call at 1 o'clock in the morning. Like, we need to talk about it now because I need to understand. I just can't hold the stress of my body. And if I feel like I've been making space and not being fair, I'm going to apologize for it, you know? Or I'm going to say it out loud, or depending on the situation, because sometimes when you're making amends, y'all, I'll say it this way. Sometimes when you're making amends, you want to make sure that the amends are, apologies are for the other person, right? Like they're for you to be self-accountable. But also if you're making amends, it's supposed to be a repair action for the other person. So if I go to making amends with someone and I'm saying things that are going to actually cause them more distress, right? Like if I go through all, say I'm going to make amends with someone and I go through a list of all the bad thoughts I had about them and all the things I said about them to other people, how is that helping the amends process? How is that helping them feel better? That's more about me. They don't need to know any of that. All they need to know is, hey, I am so sorry that I didn't believe the best in you. And, you know, I'm sorry that I didn't come to you first and I talked to other people about it, you know, and I want to do better about that, but I needed to talk to you about it first. Like, that's what they need to hear. They don't need to be destroyed as you're trying to repair the relationship. Okay? So that is it, y'all, for today's podcast episode. I hope that this was helpful. I haven't had one of these instructional, this is how you have this type of conversation, this is how you have this type of talk episode in a while. So I hope that this is something that y'all can bookmark and share and come back to when needed. Of course, this is not for every situation. Again, like I said at the top of the episode, this is for relationships that are with people who are available, who are healthy, people, relationships, and situations that you trust and that have been otherwise been very good for you. And you want to check the facts on this to make sure that the threat that you think is there is actually there. This is not necessarily something that you want to do. I mean, you can do it when it comes to people who are, you know, predators or narcissists or someone in your life. But here's the thing about those folks. Those folks are so good at tripping you up and making you think that everything is your fault already, that you checking the facts is probably just going to reinforce the amount of emotional abuse and neglect that they have on you and the ways that they're already kind of projecting and blaming you for all their own bad behavior. So make sure that in your desire to check the facts, that if you're dealing with someone who is unavailable, predatory, narcissistic, that you are doing this check the facts with somebody else who's outside the situation, who can help you see the situation more neutrally and clearly and give some credence to what they're saying. Okay. So that is it for now. I'm sending you all so much love, and I look forward to seeing you in next week's podcast episode. And for those of y'all who are having questions about anything that you've heard about today, remember the best way to get a hold of me is in my recovery school program, where I offer coaching and support for all things related to trauma, love addiction, love avoidance, and all the ways that we want to build a better relationship with ourselves and then with others. And you can learn more about that by going to therecoveryschool.com, and I look forward to seeing you there. All right, that's it. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.